Hi, it's Pat Finelli from Pizza Pizza. Right now, get two medium pizzas with four toppings combined, two free dipping sauces, and six free Coke, all for only $18.99. Perfect for game night, a school night, or the office lunch. And ordering just got a whole lot easier. You can order from our award-winning mobile apps and even win more food. Click and pick Pizza Pizza today.
9-6-7-11-11-PIZZA-PIZZA. 9-6-7-11-11.
Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
And here we go. We are live. Hockey Central at noon. You like that one, John Shannon?
It was good.
Hang up the phone. I gotta go.
Here we go, baby.
Around the table, you may recognize these faces and voices from the, I'm going to get this right, the world's greatest pre-game show, Saturday afternoons at 5 o'clock on Sportsnet. This is John and simulcast stateside on the NHL Network. Hello to all of our friends who are watching on the NHL Network. PJ Stock and the aforementioned John Shannon aboard today. Roberto Luongo will be dropping by. Florida Panthers netminder will be here in about 15 minutes' time. In the meantime, about last night, 10 games on the go around the NHL. Huge implications in the East, huge implications in the West. And PJ, let's start with the Ottawa Senators and Hamburglar Knights, where they handed out masks. They made hamburger pyramids in place of pucks on the boards. It was Hamburglar Mania, and Andrew Hammond was close to getting pulled, even though he pulled out 2 points for the Ottawa Senators in regulation.
I think I could have been okay with just the mask and kind of like let that slide just like that. But the fact that, you know, if you missed it last night, before the players go on the ice, the pucks are all kind of put in a pyramid type form or whatever. And last night they put hamburgers there instead of the pucks. And just, there was just so much. I think last night was the biggest game of his career. I think it was the biggest game of the season for the Senators, who are 4 points behind the Boston Bruins going into last night's game with a game in hand, which could have been six or two with a game in hand with a chance of tying them. And the night where they have a kid who's played 14 total NHL games, they put all the attention and spotlight and everything on him.
But how could you not?
Well,
how could you not?
Well, you could just say no.
You could not that night.
You could just say no to the promotion. You can just say, what? Let's worry about 2 points here.
Well, listen, without
Hamburglar.
By the way, could we call him by his name? Andrew Hammond.
Thank you.
Without Andrew Hammond, this team doesn't have an opportunity to be 2 points behind the Boston Bruins.
What does that mean, putting immense pressure on his shoulders 14 games into his NHL career?
You don't think that he had immense pressure the moment he came in after the injury to both guys? You don't think he had pressure on that Western road trip?
You want to build a night around a guy 13 games in, 14 games in?
Listen, Cyril Leader, who's the president of the Ottawa Senators, and the marketing guys and their new corporate QSR sponsor were thrilled. Okay, this team has nothing to lose. That's one of the great stories about this.
Nothing to lose.
Well, last night they had the opportunity of losing a game.
I'm talking about in the last 3 weeks. This is all you can't. Then what you have to do when you get this close, you have to stay the course.
But the point is, why make it harder on yourself? you're in a battle for that final wild card spot. It's one of the best stories going in the NHL.
Yeah.
Why do you want to put another hurdle in front of yourself?
I think they went from playing with the bank's money to, like you said, they were done.
They were done.
But now they're not. And that's what made the importance of last night's game.
So stay the course, though. Stay the course with what they've got, what got them this far.
Yes.
And that was all of the gimmicks, everything. I mean, the whole hamburger stuff. Andrew Hammond did a great job.
It just never came to the rink. It was, he got free hamburgers for life, which is awesome.
Here's a card. Here's a meal plan.
PJ Stock, can I have not had a cooler name or a cooler nickname where I could have got something free? He's actually Hammond. I don't know how I got Hamburglar, but he's free hamburgers for life. I mean, that's awesome. But still, I think last night of all nights.
Let me ask you guys this. Sorry, finish your thought.
Just added pressure.
You just think too much 14 games.
Too much 14 games in. Great story, though. Awesome story.
Isn't it?
And happy he won.
Wonderful story. Fun game as well. But it seemed like one of those games until late in the third period. Neither team wanted to win, specifically the Boston Bruins. Was that Ottawa beating Boston, or was that Boston saying, here, have two freebies?
I saw Boston play Buffalo on Tuesday night. I was in Boston, and it was a night where they completely outshot and controlled the Buffalo Sabres, and they left that game giving up a point. Last night was a night where they gave up 2 points. Ottawa Senators have been playing the way they've been playing. They haven't really changed much. They've just been getting some great goaltending, hence Hamburger and stories and the Hamburglar and all that stuff. But the Bruins, that's not their style. Giving up net front presence, everyone kind of mocked the Leafs the way they lost to the Boston Bruins for not protecting the front of their net, for letting the three goals come against them late in the third period and just losing the game in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Last night, that was the Boston Bruins. They were letting the Ottawa Senators in front of their net, and they were, I don't want to use the term soft in front of the net, but they were soft in front of their own net, which
that's
is not
what Claude Julien said.
Not the Bruins
in front
style.
Of the net, we were soft.
Well, and
that's the worst thing you can say as a head coach about your team, isn't it? Calling them soft?
Either soft or don't care. But both are wrong. I mean, the one thing is this is not your father's Boston Bruins. This is not the team that went to the Stanley Cup final against Chicago and lost in six games or won the Stanley Cup. Sure, they have a couple of the guys that are residues of that team. But, you know, Zdeno Chara, who was -2 last night, can't do everything. And more importantly, I'm not sure he's physically possible.
He wasn't on the ice in that last minute, John.
We're
watching on that last Ottawa goal. We're watching a minute and a half, and there's no Chara out there.
Listen, we talked about this 13 days ago. They had a key game on a Saturday afternoon at TD Garden, and they had a power play, and neither Chara or Lucic were on the ice. They are trying to make a transition to a younger, faster team, but they're paying the price for it with the mistakes that Riley Smith make. You know, even David Pastrnak makes mistakes. They, you know, their young defensemen make mistakes. Brad Marchand, for all the great things he's done the last 2 weeks for this team, -3 last night. You know, there are some holes in this thing that are obviously a problem somehow, some way have to be addressed.
You look at some teams, and every team has holes. Of course, Jeff and I had a good conversation last night. It's easy to pick out the faults of every team because really sports are games of mistakes. But at the same time, a lot of those mistakes are created because of great plays of the opposition.
True.
And we don't often give credit to the great plays of that opposition or who made that play because it's, like I said, it is easier to point out the mistake because us three, we're great at what we do. We don't make mistakes.
No.
So that's that part's easy.
Ideal.
But
you haven't actually watched the world's greatest pregame show, have you?
No, we gave it that name. We didn't actually ever watch
it. John Chan trademark right there, by the way.
But the Montreal Canadiens, again, the team that I watch a lot, make those mistakes. Same thing that the Boston Bruins have been making. Carey Price fixes all of it. Forwards make mistakes. Yeah. Defense are there. They stop the mistakes.
I mean, there was one goal last night. I believe that Bobby Ryan got credit for it. It might even be the game winner because I was doing the Calgary game at the time. Tuukka Rask lets out just a horrendous rebound.
That was, yep.
And actually ends up bouncing off Chara's skate and into the net. You know, how important in this day and age is rebound control? How many times do you hear about going down the wing? You know you can't score. Put the puck low to the pads to get a bounce.
Far side, the shot pass.
You know, I mean, gosh.
He squirts that right in front of the net. You see it countless times.
And that, for me, also has hurt them down the stretch. You know, the Tuukka's been good. He just hasn't been great to cover up mistakes.
He is the reigning resident trophy winner, isn't he? Isn't he?
He hasn't been great.
You know, I'm actually a little bit in shock because you look at that roster, you look at their core guys, and you're saying there's no way they should be in this situation. There's no way.
Well, they lost Chara for a third of the season, Krejci for almost half when everything's said and done.
Yep.
Patrice Bergeron is, I think he's world-class in everything he does. I just think he's so much better suited for that second-line role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's being asked to carry the offense as well.
And the elephant in the room is the players they got back for Tyler Seguin, two of them are on the third line, the other's in Edmonton.
Well.
Like, what do the Bruins need right now? Tyler Seguin.
Yeah, they do. They need speed and offense. That is the one thing that's hurting them, speed and offense. And when you're not fast and you're not scoring, it makes those guys that aren't scoring and slower look that much worse. And Zdeno Chara, I'm a huge fan of Zdeno Chara. struggling this year.
There's a mammoth game for the Bruins tomorrow night, the first of three before the season ends, with the Florida Panthers. And at the same time, the Senators play the first of their three between now and the end of the regular season against the Toronto Maple Leafs. One might suggest it comes down to how those two teams fare in those series of games.
Good point.
When you consider that Toronto has, since the Senators have returned to the NHL in the early 90s, Toronto's always beat them. Now, I know it's history. I know this is not a great team. But if you talk to anybody within the Senators organization who have been there for a long time, or people who have covered the team for a long time, they will tell you the Leafs have always beaten us when the chips are down.
In a lot of ways, that is the Stanley Cup for them. That is a Stanley Cup for the Ottawa Senators.
It will be to mirror those two sets of games. And again, we quickly forget Florida, who are at 78 points. But
three games with Boston coming up,
I know,
John.
Three games against the Bruins.
Three biggies against the Bears. Luongo's going to join us here in a couple of moments.
And those Leafs are three games against the Senators.
Yeah, we said that.
Three.
Thanks for listening.
I know, but I'm just going to looking at the list right now. I was comparing. Those are big games.
Like ADD
those
are much over there?
I know. I was actually looking at who the Bruins have. Again, it's in the Bruins. Bruins have
They have three against Florida.
Bruins have the Bruins have the ROWs. So
yes, they do.
They have to pass them. They have to.
Right.
You told me last night I was going to have to carry this show, PJ. So
yeah, me too. thanks for showing up, John. We need someone to keep this one on the rails. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Winnipeg.
Is this working?
Winnipeg.
Hello?
Yeah, the IFP is okay. Don't worry about it. But Winnipeg last night in a big game, statement game, some would say, against the St. Louis Blues.
Yes.
Take it right down to the wire. Drew Stafford, who's been such a wonderful story.
What a great acquisition.
The Winnipeg Jets. Great acquisition. Part
Ottawa's
of the
playing
King
Toronto
deal.
Three times before the end
and
of the year.
And Florida Boston have a three set as well, PJ.
I missed that.
Thanks for joining us on the show today. And Andre Pavlik stands on his head and was remarkable. And Andrew Ladd, in a shot that PJ still hasn't stopped talking about, cements it away in the shootout. Big win for the Winnipeg Jets last night.
And the one concern for me with St. Louis in that game, and I'd hate talking about it last night and today, just this goal right here that we're showing on the television. If you're on radio, well, you're not seeing it, but it's a backhand short side goal where it's just...
Shifley's alone in front.
He's not alone in front.
One. The goaltender has to cheat a little bit.
I'm just saying.
You haven't made your point. What's your point?
I'm concerned. I think St. Louis has a team that could go the distance in the West.
Oh, don't blame their goaltending.
Elliott
was unbelievable last night.
I'm questioning.
He just didn't like the Stafford backhand.
But it's one goal. You can't give up that one goal a game in the playoffs. And that's my concern for this team. And it's...
Well, here's the difference. St. Louis will get to the playoffs. There's still not 100% guarantee that Winnipeg does. And as much as Andre Pavlik has really taken over the number one spot, you know, we always, every once in a while, see the Andre Pavlik bad goal a game syndrome. You know, remember the last time they played in St. Louis?
Yeah.
Barrett Jackman from, you know, 100
just
feet.
Center ice, yeah.
You know, yeah. So the challenge for the Jets is if Pavlik, and he gets on these streaks, he gets rolling on these streaks. The question is, can he keep streaking until April 11th?
And they did this without Byfuglien as well, which was a, by the way, guys, I'm just looking at my sheet. Ottawa's playing Toronto three times? Down this stretch.
What about the Bruins and the Cats? They meet each other.
I think they're playing three times.
Okay.
Just huge 2 points by Winnipeg. Just, you look at those two games.
Yeah.
The Ottawa-Boston game. And the St. Louis-Winnipeg game. One, you had the feel that these two teams are going one way.
Yeah.
That other game was just...
Wheeler,
throw it on the
Shifley,
wall.
And Drew Stafford.
Yeah.
Best line on the ice last night. They were fantastic.
Speed. Yeah. Speed.
Best line in that game, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not in the...
Because there was another line that was pretty good last night.
There were a couple. Yeah. Actually, Columbus was firing last night. How about Columbus against Vancouver? How about Marco Dano last night? For the CBJs. Fifth road win in a row for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yeah. Eddie Lack gets the hook.
I was talking to John Davidson late last night, and I said, boy, that you should play more games against Vancouver. And he said, you know, we got in late. We didn't skate. I said, well, you should probably do that more often. You know, because they, down 2-1, they scored the 2-2 goal. There was never a doubt who was going to win that game in my mind.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, quick heads up here. This news just breaking. This just handed to me. PK Subban assessed a second fine for diving.
Oh, well. What is it? $3,000 he's going to pay?
No, sorry. First player to tell you, it's his third offense, second fine.
Yeah, third offense.
So he's fined $3,000.
$3,000.
The next time it happens, it's $4,000 and a $2,000 fine from Michelle Therrien.
Oh, well.
Chump change.
Chump change for him. No, he made that during while you were telling the story.
But it's a scarlet letter.
Who cares?
Wearing
for
the,
what?
Wearing, for diving.
No. Embellishment. It's embellishment.
Oh, sorry, embellishment.
It's a different term. Diving and embellishment or you're trying to sell. I have no problem with that. You know, for me, PK's having an unbelievable hockey season. The Montreal Canadiens, as much as we look at them and trying to find faults in their game, they are just an unbelievable story this year. And he's having, I think, a better year this year than when he won the Calder. And you know what? That's what he does. That's why other teams hate PK Subban, because he can get the entire opposition so riled up with, you know what, he'll run you, he'll skate you, he gets the crowd going, and he embellishes.
All right, so let's get to our guest, netminder for the Florida Panthers, who have eyeballs for the playoffs, and that's a final wild card spot. Roberto Luongo joining us here on Hockey Central at noon. Roberto, thanks for being aboard today. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. How much are you guys watching the out-of-town scoreboards? How much would you guys have been watching, you know, parts of the game and watching highlights? Or are you just focusing on, you know, we've got games coming up, we're just going to focus on our games? Or how much are you watching the out-of-town scoreboard?
Well, that's the thing. You know, you're kind of just trying to focus on yourself and take care of our business, but it's hard not to see what's going on, you know. So, we got to keep track a little bit of what's going on outside. But at the end of the day, it's really about us and making sure that, you know, we take care of our business, because that's the only way that we have a chance to make this happen.
Well, you played well against Detroit last night, but physically, how did you feel after the game?
Pretty good. I think, you know, going in, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel. You know, I hadn't really practiced with the team in 2 weeks. I only had one full practice on Wednesday, so sometimes you worry a bit about your timing and stuff like that, but that was pretty good. I mean, the shoulder held up as well, so all in all, everything felt really good.
You go from a team of veterans in Vancouver to a team of kids in Florida, and they all look amazing. They're going to have a great future. Which one stands out the most to you?
I mean, they're all great in their own way. I think somebody that I think has been maybe under the radar a little bit is Barkov. You know, he reminds me a lot of Pavel Datsyuk, the way he skates and handles the puck and takes away puck from other players and stuff like that, strong on a stick. So I don't think he knows how good he is still. So once he figures out that he could be one of the best in the league, it's going to be pretty scary.
You know, when you look at the players around your locker room, talking to someone in Florida not that long ago who made the point to me that this is the best locker room the Florida Panthers have had in years. How is it in there?
It's great. I mean, we got a good mix of guys. You know, like you said, there's a lot of young guys, but we have also a lot of guys that have had experience, won Stanley Cups, done a ton of things. Plus, with the addition of Yags coming in a few weeks ago, I think it's really helped out our young group of forwards. So, you know, everybody's tight together. They hang out. We hang out all the time on the road. And the dynamics in the locker room is awesome, to be honest.
Roberto, looking at the schedule, and I would assume you and the coaches have looked at the schedule as well. You have two back-to-backs, Montreal and Ottawa, Tampa Bay and Montreal again later on. Can we assume that you will have thought about playing all 11 games for this team down the stretch?
Well, I think so. I mean, at this point, you know, we need every game is crucial. I had a little two-week break, so I'm well-rested, you know, and especially the first back-to-back, Montreal-Ottawa, those are going to be two huge games for our club. So definitely want to play both of those, and you know, but at the same time right now, it's really one game at a time mentality and trying to get back in it. I mean, not that we're out of it, but we're still on the outside looking in, and we all know the importance of tomorrow night's game.
PJ's going to remind you that you're playing three against Boston. So
yeah.
And Ottawa's playing Toronto three times as well. So. I'm just saying, I'm looking at the schedule.
Well, if you'd ever listen, you'd be fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, those are three huge games. And we have one against Ottawa as well. So, I mean, the thing is we got to catch two teams now instead of one, but you know, like you just said, we play three times against Boston, and starts with tomorrow night. And, you know, I've always said, you know, especially that we have a lot of young guys, sometimes if you look at the big picture, it could get a little overwhelming. So we just want to stay within in the moment. And right now it's the focus is on tomorrow night and winning one game, you know. Once we play that game, we move on to the next one. You know, sometimes, you know, especially when you don't have a lot of experience, you try to look at, you know, the standings or, you know, how many games we have left, points, all that kind of stuff, and it could kind of cloud your judgment a little bit. So we need to stay focused and on the moment here.
Okay, I'm just trying to picture this. Post-game, you finish the game, you and Jágr come out of the shower, you get in front of the mirror, you're both standing beside each other, and, like, who gives who advice about what to put in their hair? Because these are two of the best hairs that we've had, and it's one generation, Yogs, and you're the new one. Is it dippity-doo? Is it gel? Is it hairspray? Who, like, do you tell him how to flow it? What's
He's got short hair now, so it kind of ruins it a little bit. But, you know, I did ask him for a few tips, how he, you know, used to style it back in the day, just in case I wanted to grow back a mullet or something. But, you know, we're just a couple of fossils looking in the mirror.
Well, first of all, Roberto, what you have to tell PJ, too, is that you are in the shower, out of the shower, in your suit, in the car, on the way home, and Jágr is still sitting at his stall with his equipment on.
Yeah, he's got a different routine than what I've ever seen before. But you know what? You got to give him props. You know, he's the 43, I think, and, and you know, the amount of work that he puts in is unbelievable. And a lot of it is has to do, you know, on his own, and you know, not a lot of people see it, but you know, now that he's been around the boys for a few weeks, I think the guys see how hard he works to stay in shape and still working on his game at that age. That's why he's still in the league, really.
Being joined by Roberto Luongo, Florida Panthers netminder, big game tomorrow against the Boston Bruins as they chase a wild card spot. First of three.
Toronto's also playing Ottawa three times.
We got that. Checking. Thank you, Steve.
Toronto plays them schedule. Hard every time, no?
Roberto,
are you listening?
So you're 9 years in Vancouver. When you left Florida the first time, you came back. Can you measure a difference in the hockey environment in South Florida? Do you feel that it's a different style of franchise now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that was, you know, that was a huge factor for me to begin with. You know, that begins with new ownership, obviously. And when I got here last year, I think the one thing that was the most important out of everything is to change the culture in the locker room. You know, sometimes when you used to losing as a franchise, it's tough to turn things around. So I think that was the first thing that was important, not only for me, but also with the veterans that we added this summer, to change the culture in the locker room. And that's where, you know, the Willie Mitchells and Sean Thorns and all those guys that we picked up really came in and did a big job for us, not only on the ice, but in the locker room.
So how do you get used to the Go Habs Go chant being louder than the Go Cats Go chant on Tuesday night? That was pretty intimidating.
I didn't even hear that, but you know what? As long as there's you know, I like it actually when there's fans from both teams, and it happened a lot when I was in Vancouver and we were on the road, and it just makes it for a more exciting atmosphere in the building. So you know, as players, you know, we don't care. You know, I like to play on the road more than I do at home sometimes, just because you know, I like to be you know, ridiculed or yelled at or whatever. But you know, it just makes for some fun atmosphere to play hockey in.
Roberto, last question for you, and we thank you for
your
time.
Why do you get last question?
Because you're done. Because you're just going to ask about the schedule.
But Toronto plays Ottawa three times.
Roberto's done talking about that. You know, you'll be asked about this one probably for the rest of your life. One of the most surreal games to watch, let alone play in, let alone play in a couple of times. Take us back from your point of view. What happened in that Toronto game where you were out, Montoya was out, is Talas coming in, is McKenzie coming in? Take us through that day from your point of view.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, after the injury, I was in the locker room first intermission, and they wanted to err on the side of caution, so I had to go get some scans at the hospital. As I was done and getting back in the car, I wasn't driving. It was the team doctor that was driving. I went on NHL.com to see the score, and I just noticed that Toronto had tied it up. So I flipped over to Twitter, and all of a sudden, all the reporters are saying that Montoya was down, and then McKenzie was getting dressed, and Uppy was going to get dressed. So I was like, holy smokes, let's hurry up and get back. As I walked in the locker room, I saw Rob Tallis putting on his gear, and when I saw Rob's look on his face, I said, oh, my God, I got to get back in. I don't know if this guy's going to make it. So that's when I came out to the tunnel, and I was talking to Dale, and our trainer was there, and the coach, and you know, I told him that pretty much, you know, I could probably finish out the game, even though the circumstances weren't ideal, because Monty's, you know, obviously couldn't move in the net. At least my legs were working, I could move around, and that's it. Just hurry up, put the gear on, and went back out there.
What'd you say to him, to Al, as you came back in the net and he left?
I can't remember, to be honest with you, but I'm sure, you know, I asked him how he was doing, and you know, good job. You know, it's tough to. Tough for him to stay in there with a back going like that where he can't move. I mean, it's that was a tough spot more than myself, I think. And, you know, it was a gutsy effort by him to pull through there.
That was tough for him. An interesting night, and it's been an interesting ride so far for the Florida Panthers. Keep it going. It's a fun team to watch and a fun race to follow.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Roberto Luongo, netminder for the Florida Panthers, who play how many games against the Boston Bruins, Beach?
Three. Senators, three against Leafs. Nice. You know what? There was a time earlier when I've said it on TV before, so I don't mind saying it now, where the media would come in right after a game in Vancouver and ask Roberto questions right away. And Roberto would sometimes, instead of kind of, you know, we could be better or this or whatever, he kind of deflected a lot of the blame towards the players, I thought, at times. Okay. And I said it before, so... The last few, I don't know with Roberto, the last few years, what clicked, what changed or whatever. It's hard to say anything negative or somewhat not positive about this guy. He has been an unbelievable personality the last couple of years. And I don't know if it's everything that he went through in the contract negotiations or talking about how the situation in Vancouver. He has been spectacular, and that's the guy you want in your locker room. That's the 100%. Guy that goes back to take Montoya out of the game. That's what you want as a goalie for a young team like Florida.
You know what?
He's such a good person.
The old saying is true. Calm waters don't make great sailors, and this guy has gone through a lot and went through a lot in Vancouver, the negotiation, the trade from Florida in the first place, the sea, everything that happened in the Stanley Cup final.
Hey,
this
Heritage Classic.
This guy's been through a ton, and you know what? He came out of it at the other end the way that I think we all wish we would. To go through that kind of adversity and come out being that person that Luongo is and that player that Luongo is, I think we'd all like to say to ourselves, if we went through what he went through, we'd like to come out the other end the same way.
Because you could
did.
Come out the other way.
100%.
By the way,
bitter, cynical.
Did you see
him.
The look on Dale Talon's face when he was talking
came
about
out.
That was almost as bad as the look on Dale's face when he's going to lose a $5 Nassau on the back nine with a 3-foot putt. That was how bad it was.
I don't think he's golfed much this year, John. I think it's been a lot of heavy lifting for Dale Talon this year.
Dale Talon has done a really good job. Jerry Gallant has done an unbelievable job.
Yep.
This team is on the rise, and a lot of it to do with the players they've acquired, the young guys. I like the analysis of Barkov by Luongo, except there's one big difference. Pavel Datsyuk's 5'11", Barkov's 6'6".
But strong, they, big, strong
they
kid.
They are getting 3 years. Yes. Give them three years. Jerry Gallant is a fantastic
and
coach.
Aaron Ekblad.
Great person.
Aaron Ekblad.
Okay,
Aaron
we don't want to preview our stars just yet, but, I mean, the Calder race is spectacular. I love Ekblad.
Well, it's down to two now.
You think?
It's down to two. As Forsberg's gone cold, it's now... Johnny
well,
Hockey,
how do you
or
define cold? How, define cold.
Well, can't find the back of the net. I mean, he's scoring pace for a rookie.
Listen, Goudreau went 17 games without a goal.
I know. And, so, I mean, and now cold? and now down the stretch. And, no, and who's leading in the rookie scoring?
Johnny Goudreau Hockey. By 1 point.
But he's winning. Or as John likes to call him now, John Goudreau.
John Goudreau.
I'm Johnny
take a little more seriously.
I love Johnny Hockey. I love Johnny Hockey.
Hockey.
But what's more amazing?
I was driving. I'm not supposed to text and drive.
By the way,
guy's like, he's calling him John Hockey.
John Hockey.
To be more serious. Goudreau.
But what's more impressive? What Ekblad is doing on a team that's not making the playoff.
I know.
I'm trying to make an argument.
Okay.
For John Goudreau, or for what Johnny's doing. at his size, yeah. at his stature in the West.
Yeah.
Without the supporting cast around.
Hold on. That supporting cast, that might be one of the best top five lines in hockey right now.
Sean Monahan scored 50 goals in two seasons.
Yeah, and Yuri Hudler has been an unbelievable catalyst there. I mean, they're... That line, when they were shut out for two nights, they knew that if this team was to get the Flames to get back on the rails,
yeah.
that they had to play well, and they took every moment to do that.
Again, it's a second year player in a team that no one in their right mind had yeah. this team in the playoffs, yeah. let alone where they are, let right. alone in the top 25 in the league.
But you know what? Some will say unsustainable shooting percentage too high, save percentage too high. Oh. One every year.
Is that analytics?
Colorado last year, the Maple Leafs before that, Minnesota Wild. Like it's has happened before in the NHL, and you do wonder whether Calgary is the one exception or they're just trail.
And they're doing
PDO is too high,
and they're doing this in the last 5 weeks or 3 weeks rather without Mark Giordano. So. Yeah.
Well, Weidman's been great.
Last night
he was real good.
If they make the playoffs, which we hope they do, is Hartley coach of the year?
Oh, you're all over the map. You got trophies going left and right.
I'm just saying, and I do know now, halfway through the show.
This is PJ in Vegas. He's just handing out awards.
That Ottawa is playing Toronto three times. I love that, Vlad. I just tried to make a little conversation about Connor Goudreau.
I've got a positional bias, and I find that as an 18-year-old, doing what he's doing as a defenseman in the NHL is more remarkable, with all due respect, than the former Hobie Baker.
Okay, I know that. We're all with Ekblad. I tried to. That didn't work. So now I'm jumping to my next trophy. My next trophy is Coach of the Year.
You want to hand out the Adams.
Yes.
Okay.
If they make it in, considering where they are, the team they have.
Yeah.
What about Paul Maurice? What about the injuries that Paul Maurice's team has gone through? They actually have more points than Calgary right now.
What about Jack Capuano? Who gets zero love around the NHL. Zero love.
And has never received any love. What about
from day one?
Listen, what about LaViolette? Or Alain Vigneault?
There's a guy in Detroit that's never won that award. One of the best coaches in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio doesn't win too many trophies either. I'm just saying. No Oscars? Does he have no Oscars? Leonardo? I'm a big Leonardo DiCaprio fan. Let's go on to the Oscars now. You guys want to talk Oscars?
Bing, bing.
No. What?
Hey, a squirrel.
I know.
Squirrel.
Shiny.
What are you doing?
I'm just jumping all over the map today. I don't get on radio enough. I'm in a hotel for a week.
Why don't we just take a break?
Yes.
TJ's going to lie down and have a drink of water.
Vlad wins the rookie. I think the coach goes to Capuano.
You didn't even think of him until now.
Hartley? Ottawa plays Toronto. How many times?
Jeff, you take a break.
No, I'm having too much fun.
No, take a break. He'll just keep talking.
He's just keep talking. He's PJ Stock.
Seriously, Titanic was an unbelievable movie. How does he not win for that?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Philip Joseph Stock. As we like to say, John and I, he is a nice bunch of guys. With that, we'll take a break.
More Barney Rubble, Central, what an actor. At noon.
Continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network, simulcast on the NHL Network stateside. Back in a moment. Squirrel, vanilla.
Welcome to Hockey Night in England. This is a live broadcast of the Piccadilly Cup. And there's the whistle. Jolly good shot from the Cheshire chaps, valiantly blocked by Essex. Wait a tick. There's been a dust-up between Helmsley and Cavendish. Gloves are coming off. Helmsley has slapped Cavendish with his glove. The spectators are expressing their approval.
Some things just make more sense in Canada, like a Subaru with symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive.
Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. Around the table, Jeff Merrick for Darren Millard, John Shannon, and PJ Stock. A tweet from Tommy Sibbald for you, PJ. Love the show. Can you let PJ know the Leafs play the Sens three more times this year?
It's not my fault.
Yeah, no, it is.
Look what I'm trying. I mean, I'm doing a lot of work. I mean, I'm trying.
You have two schedules.
It's a lot of work.
Very challenging to read, PJ.
Then again, I'm just holding up and people driving in their cars right now are like, I don't see it.
I don't know what PJ's talking about.
What's he talking about?
Yeah. Well,
anyways. I'm holding up a piece of paper right now. You know what it says on it?
Yes, I do.
It says, we are finger cooking lunch today. We ordered online at bostonpizza.com over 100 delivery items to choose from at Boston Pizza. And we thank all of our friends at said franchise for feeding all of us livestock today. So thank you for our friends at Boston Pizza. Can anyone explain what's happening with the Pittsburgh Penguins? Losing again last night, fourth
Evgeny
straight
Malkin
game.
Is not there, you know?
87 is still there.
Yeah. I do think there are some questions. In the end, I don't blame the forwards near as much as I wonder about their defense. I wonder if, you know, the changes that Jim Rutherford and the guys tried to make at the deadline, tried to, with bringing Lovejoy back, Ian Cole in, you wonder if that was a little signal that they, you know, that they're not very happy with what they had on the blue line, and I'm not sure it's any better now.
Uh-huh.
So, get in the playoffs, though. I mean, it doesn't look at the matchups in the Eastern Conference.
EJ, back to your schedule over there. Your standings.
I mean, it doesn't. In the end, it will not matter where you finish. You're going to have three tough series. You are going to be. It'll be a war of attrition for three rounds.
Well, right now it's Pens Islanders.
Yeah,
looking like it's going to be Pens Islanders.
Yeah.
Who you liking that series?
I like the Islanders.
So do I, Peach.
Looks like Washington take Pittsburgh as well. I mean, it's going to be.
Hold on.
I know.
Pens Islanders. Who do you like?
It's Hockey Tourette's over there. I'm telling you.
I can't. I have friends on Pittsburgh.
It doesn't matter.
I don't want to say the Islanders right now. I don't want to say the Islanders right now because they might be listening. And then I'm going to get a call in 2 seconds. I don't like the way Pittsburgh's finishing this year. I really don't.
Thank you. We got a straight answer.
I really am concerned with that team's play. And the way Crosby, I know he's not as sexy right now as Tavares, as Ovechkin, as Carey Price, as the star power.
But he'll win the
he's
Art
still
Ross.
A great hockey.
He'll
still
win the Art Ross.
But he's not, I know that's what I'm saying. Like, he's going to win the Art Ross, but he's still not, I don't know.
Are you
I just,
guaranteeing that he's going to win the Art
no,
Ross?
I'm not.
No, I know. We talked about it last. I know. It's just. Does he, when you think of Pittsburgh right now, does Crosby intimidate you the way that Tavares is doing with the Islanders?
Funny. This program made some news yesterday and got picked up mainly by a lot of Philadelphia Flyers blogs for the obvious reason. When Doug McClain brought up the point about whining and complaining and getting distracted with Bill Guerin, and the assistant general manager said, yes, it's an issue. We've addressed it.
Yeah.
But we've seen in the playoffs, and we saw it last year against Columbus. We've seen it countless times against the Philadelphia Flyers. It's a team that gets distracted easily.
Well,
and can't let things go, can't put things in the rearview mirror.
How much is a learning curve for Mike Johnson and that staff? How much of a learning curve in a relationship between the players and the coaches? Because it is different, and they are trying to play a little different style. And the one constant, and whether he's been great or good this season, the one constant has been Marc-Andre Fleury. And yet we all say about Marc-Andre Fleury is what he can do. He can win 82 games in a row in the regular season.
Yeah.
But win 16 in the playoffs.
I think he's a different guy in the playoffs this year because of Mike Bales.
And
playing a different style.
And I also don't think that they have enough depth. I really don't. I think.
Well, without Malkin, they certainly don't.
They don't. You know,
are you talking like the third, fourth line not contributing in the playoffs? Yeah, you need that.
Yes, yes. And it's awful. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think they have. They're never going to move Crosby.
But they have to make a decision on the other guy.
I really think they have to make a decision on the other guy.
If they bow out in the first round.
And they're taking on the – do you think they get past the Islanders in the first
– I don't.
In the
I
history, don't. You're going I back. Know. You know, and I don't want to – because I love Marc-Andre Fleury. I'm stuck here because I want him to do well. But unfortunately, besides I take his first couple years, the last few years, I just don't see them doing well in the playoffs. I just don't. And that's my concern for this team because – I mean, does Sidney Crosby go through another year? Then again, he might win the Art Ross this year. Mm-hmm. This team just doesn't have enough. They've got a couple of Clydesdales, and then the rest is they're holding on. They're Islanders. You like if they match up today?
I like the Islanders.
Pittsburgh? How about this? Let me change that. Who does Pittsburgh beat of the top eight teams?
Ooh.
Because the Islanders, I like the Islanders because they're a great story. And they might be fooling me because it's not a seven-game series yet. I don't know if Pittsburgh
Of the teams that they're in, they can beat Boston?
Might end there. We're talking.
Washington? They might beat the Caps. Yeah. I mean, I know. I just think that there have to be warning lights going off in Pittsburgh, the way this team is playing. Their depth guys, that was when they did win the Stanley Cup, when they went with Detroit the previous year, they had depth. And they did have a stronger defense. I'm sorry, they did have a stronger defense. I don't think when you make trades at the deadline and have those guys playing on a regular basis from that moment on, you're in a little desperate mode.
Do you think then, to that point, because a lot of defensemen have left or been traded, that it's just a matter of letting those young defensemen, whether it's Pouliot, whether it's Harrington, whether it's Olimata, just waiting for those defensemen to develop?
They do miss Olimata.
100%.
They do miss Olimata. He's the one guy back there that has been such a star for them. And having him back next year will make a big difference. But that's not going to help them this season.
They won with Hal Gill.
He was good for them.
He was good for them. A young Scuderi.
Yep. Brooks Orpik.
It's those meat and potato guys. You need one or two of the sexy players like Letang. But then you need those Matt Green-type defensemen, those Brent Seabrook-type guys.
Yeah.
You need those depth guys that are, the term is heavy hockey, whatever, that can play like that for 2 months and log those tough minutes. And I don't know if Pittsburgh is there.
Let's pause on that. I want to make sure we get to the three stars because someone we really do need to mention and have a conversation about is one of them. PJ, we'll start with you. Who is your... start from last night.
You know what? I don't think we're giving this guy enough credit.
Where's music?
I
think it's only Darren and Nick and Doug.
No, wait.
There it is.
Hey. Come on.
Trumpets.
Get with it up there.
All right, here we go.
Go.
Now? Yeah. Can I hear the music a little longer?
Yeah.
Carey
Toronto,
Price.
Ottawa, three more times.
I know it was Carolina, but nonetheless, he had to shut the door.
What a shock.
I'm shocked. No.
I'm shocked.
I think what he is doing this year, it's been him and Tavares for me the last little while.
Ask about another trophy. Go ahead. Can he win two trophies?
Good question.
Is he going to win the Art Ross, too?
He's probably their best passer and
he's
shooter.
He's only 72 points behind.
I think he is. What a spectacular. Ooh. Another shutout last night. Carey Price. Yeah. Just,
all right.
You know what? They had to win, but when he wins in style.
Very good. John.
Very good. It was unbelievable. Ottawa plays Toronto three times.
And Cats and Bruins?
Three times.
Good.
I'm done.
Okay, good. My star loves to play against Philadelphia Flyers. He grew up in Delaware, loved to watch Danny Briere play.
Was a fan.
Johnny Hockey, or as we call him now, John Hockey.
He's grown up now. Our little boy's all grown up.
John Goodrow in those retro jerseys last night looked like Kenton Nielsen going up the wing.
Oh, wow.
And he and his line mates, Hudler and Monahan, were spectacular in a 4-1 Flame victory over the Philadelphia Flyers. Goodrow now 56 points, a goal and two last night. He's my star of the night.
All right, my star of the night has really been a star for a lot of people in the industry. You may not know the name, but you know the website, and that's Matthew Wiest, who passed away yesterday of colon cancer. You may not know the name, as I mentioned, but you do know CapGeek. And CapGeek was something that changed the entire industry, how people followed it. I remember having a conversation with J.P. Barrie a few years ago at Top Prospects game in Kelowna.
Yep.
I was standing talking with him and Dave Conte, the Devils. And halfway through the conversation, J.P. Barrie pulls me aside and says, "Do you know this website, CapGeek?" And I said, "Yeah, I mean, everyone uses it. Fantastic site." He goes, "It's amazing. He's got all of my clients, all their salary information, and everything is 100% correct. All of it. Who is this guy?" It's Matthew Wiest, who covered hockey in Halifax, covered the Mooseheads, and as a side project, created something called CapGeek, which started out just as a way to document the salary cap of his favorite team, the Detroit Red Wings, and blossomed into something that I can safely say everybody in the industry at least glanced at and most people use consistently, and I was one of them.
The one thing, I never met Matt, talked to Matt, did go on the site once in a while, but the one thing that he did that every team in the league believed in was trust. Hmm. There was a trust and a relationship between the clubs and this guy. He wouldn't burn them. There was no editorial in it. It was just state the facts, and that's how he got his information.
I used to do radio, and there was one site that I left open all the time.
100%.
It was always open, CapGeek. And It was one of the staples.
Anyway, the other thing is, I don't know if you mentioned, but 29 years old. You know, he left this planet far, far too early.
And our thoughts and condolences from everyone here at Sportsnet and Hockey Central to the family and to the friends of Matthew Weiss. As John mentioned, taken way too young, but left an invaluable legacy. Thoughts and condolences to the Weiss family. Thanks for joining us. Hockey Central at noon returns Monday at 12 o'clock. By the way, if you missed it, Sens, Leafs.
Three times, folks.